Welcome to Yumi S30. I'm Brian Daniels. Yumi S30 is a half-hour talk show featuring conversations with guests from the University of Maryland Eastern Shore, the local community, and from around the nation. We cover a wide variety of topics that are of interest to you. This year, the 79th National Folk Festival continues its residency in Salisbury, Maryland. Since it was first presented in St. Louis in 1934, the National Folk Festival has celebrated the roots, richness, and variety of American culture. The festival was the first event of national stature to present the arts of many nations, races, and languages on equal footing. It was also the first to present to the public musical forms such as the blues, Cajun music, polka bands, Tex-Mex, Peking opera, and many others. The National Folk Festival 3-year stay in each host city is intended to lay the groundwork for a sustainable, locally produced festival that continues after it moves on. Including Salisbury, where the festival will be in residence through 2020, the National Folk Festival has been presented in 29 cities. Musicians and craftspeople from every state and most U.S. territories have participated in this traveling venue of traditional folk arts. Presented to audiences free of charge over 3 days, national folk festivals have drawn audiences of 100,000 to 175,000 annually since 1987. As one might imagine, organizing such a large festival takes a considerable amount of effort by many people. One such person, who happens to have ties with Maryland's Eastern Shore, is Laura Bottinelli. She is the former executive director of the Ward Museum of Wildfowl Art in Salisbury, and in 2018 was named the new executive director of the National Council for the Traditional Arts, the organization that produces the National Folk Festival. While traveling 2 days before the official start of the festival, Laura took time out of her busy schedule to speak with us about the 3-day event on this edition of UMES 30. I'm on the line now with Laura Bottinelli. She is the executive director for the National Council for the Traditional Arts and is in part responsible for, or mostly responsible, I should say, for the National Folk Festival coming to Salisbury during this period. How are you doing this morning?
Very good. Good morning.
So tell me, how are you involved and your council involved with bringing the National Folk Festival to Salisbury?
Well, the National Council for the Traditional Arts, the National Folk Festival, is our flagship event. It's entering its 79th year, and you might be thinking, this event hasn't been going on for 79 years in Salisbury. That's because every 3 years, we find a new host city for the National Folk Festival, and we are entering our second year in Salisbury. So we're very excited to be in our home state of Maryland. And year two is looking to be a fantastic event for the entire Delmarva Peninsula and beyond.
Okay. So, but why Salisbury? I mean, I know that the National Folk Festival has been to many other cities across the nation. So how did we decide to choose Salisbury this time around?
So when we were searching for our next host city, the city of Salisbury was part of a very competitive application pool. And part of it was there's an intention of the National Folk Festival to work with communities that are looking to sort of leverage change, create inclusive, creative environments in their downtown, and to embrace the values of the festival for the benefit of the local community. And under the leadership of Mayor Jake Day, there was no question that the city of Salisbury would be a very strong and able partner to bring this celebration of culture and traditions to the state of Maryland. We've never held the National Folk Festival in Maryland. This is our first time in our 70-some-odd years, so that was a strength, too. The Delmarva Peninsula itself is rich with cultural traditions, lifeways, and a really strong arts community that has embraced the festival and made it an extremely positive place for us to partner. So the city of Salisbury just has stood up and stood out amongst the applicants as one of our very strong venues.
And as you mentioned earlier, the National Folk Festival has a pretty long history, entering its 79th year this year. The first one being held back in, 1934 in St. Louis, if I remember correctly. Just how big is this festival, and what does it represent?
Okay, well, there's a couple ways to measure its scale.
Okay.
So it's seven stages that showcase the wide breadth and depth of the cultural communities that make their home in the United States. So this is everything from dance and music and craft traditions, sort of exemplary art practitioners of these cultural forms that represent the diverse array of the cultures of those living in the United States. And then as far as another factor of size is attendance. It is not unusual that by the second year of the National that its community would be drawing up to 120,000 people to the event. We are on track to do that this year. And as the festival moves on after year three, it's the intention of the host community to continue a local festival. And we have seen some of our past partners start to exceed 200,000 attendees at their events. So the National is not only representing this sort of broad sweep of American culture, but it is also able to engage large and diverse audiences in our host communities. It is quite an extensive operation. Another measure of scale is the number of volunteers that are required to put this event on. Over 1,000 volunteers are engaged at the National Folk Festival, which is another way in which the host community is able to embrace and make the festival its own, especially when it moves on and that they can carry forward with their own local festival.
Okay, so when people come to the National Folk Festival, what kinds of things can they expect to see? I know there's a lot of music, there are a lot of arts and crafts. What should we expect when you go there, especially if you've never been to this before?
Okay, so, well, there is something for everyone, and it is an outdoor festival seated in downtown Salisbury, so you're in a city environment, but it is, with these seven stages, you have outdoor music venues, major music stages where you're seeing exemplary showcases of American music and dance, from blues to reggae to other types of musical celebrations. But then there's other pieces of the festival, including the family area. So those of you with young children, there's over 8 local partners that have put together a family area for Saturday and Sunday, which has hands-on activities, crafts, demonstrations, partners like the Salisbury Zoo, the Ward Museum, the agricultural cooperatives. They're doing these showcases to display their local culture. There's also a stage in the family area where some of our artists, our national artists, are doing programming specifically to engage our younger visitors. Mm-hmm. There's also an artist marketplace where vendors, artists, and crafters have secured a venue to be able to sell an array of handmade arts and crafts from throughout the state of Maryland. It's a juried crafts exhibition. And that is up and running Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, all for the duration of the festival hours. And you can plan, if you like to enjoy festivals where you're a shopper, there's definitely something for you if you like to participate and connect with the event in that way. Because it's situated in downtown Salisbury, that means there's also the entire downtown Salisbury footprint to explore, the local businesses, the local restaurants. Connected with that, we have food vendors, beer and wine sales, water sales, all the things that you would expect if you're at a 3-day outdoor event. I want to talk with you a bit about some of the stages that are kind of special.
Okay.
One of them is our dance pavilion, or our dance stage, which is located actually right there over at the intersection of Mill Street next to Purdue and the Marina.
Mm-hmm.
That dance stage has a huge dance floor in which all through the day and night there's participatory music and dance. And that goes everywhere from like Western swing to the Rare Essence, which is a go-go band from D.C.
I've heard of them, yeah.
Yeah, so you have, even in something like our dance pavilion, this sweep of cultural forms, because part of connecting with people and connecting with these musical forms is dance. So that Dance Pavilion is a place to go and a place to check out. Each of the tented pavilions has a food court adjacent to it, and other types of festival support materials. The other stage I want to make sure we get to highlight some is the Maryland Tradition Folklife Stage.
Mm-hmm.
As part of hosting the National Folk Festival, the local state and the local community get to showcase the traditions of their home region. And through the Maryland Traditions Program at the Maryland State Arts Council, we have been able to create a showcase called Maryland Masters.
Okay.
Annually, the Arts Council celebrates and honors culture bearers from across Maryland who have been stewards of cultural traditions of the state. And the showcase on the Maryland Traditions stage this year is going to be very strong. They're past masters from their master apprenticeship program,
mm-hmm.
Everything from piano masters to a steel drum orchestra, and it goes on. That Maryland area, besides having a major stage, also has a demonstration zone where the people who are doing material culture demonstrations are working.
Okay.
And that goes from Painted Screens of Baltimore, which you may be familiar with.
Right, yes.
To pinata making from the Artesanas Mexicanas from Baltimore. And then there's also one of our master apprentices this year is Dominican barbering, haircuts.
Wow.
There's someone who was actually applied and was honored as a tradition bearer, and they're recreating their barbershop down in the Maryland Folklife area, and volunteers are able to get extremely intricate haircut designs over the course of the festival weekend. So as far as Maryland's traditions, you're seeing these come through very, very strong. We sweep all the way out to Western Maryland,
mm-hmm.
With some of the fiber arts traditions of Western Maryland. And our tradition bearer will actually have with her her sheep. Families will be able to interact and see from wool to fiber how that process goes. There's so much to discover in the Maryland folklife area. And again, this is on top of an amazing lineup of exemplary artists from across the country who are on the performance stages all weekend long, which covers everything from capoeira dancing to gospel music to bluegrass to Cuban song. We have a Haitian group that's coming up, the Bukman Experience, who are specifically were programmed to engage with the very large Haitian community in Salisbury. Part of the national is to highlight and showcase these connections that exist across America to these rich musical, dance, and cultural forms. A lot of effort goes into making those relationships pop. There is a local programming committee that actually helps select the artists that would be featured on the major performance stages. So it's a very community-informed and community-collaborative process, and there really is something for everyone. You might just, you know, recognize the name Bill Kirchen, who is a master of the Telecaster,
right?
A living guitar
right.
legend. He will be in town this weekend, as well as Jerry Douglas, a 14 Grammy Award-winning artist, master of the dobro. This is also a chance that people can discover something they maybe didn't know much about,
mm-hmm.
Which it may include for you. We have Hawaiian Swing this year, a group called Kalua Nui.
Yeah.
We have the Jones Finale Family Dancers, who are Navajo hoop dancers from Black Mesa, Arizona. So I can go on and on, but the reality is that if you have a way to come to Salisbury, Maryland this year, on this weekend, you will not be disappointed at the showcase of arts and traditions that are being set forth. And the extremely friendly and dynamic festival environment that surrounds the National Folk Festival.
Wow. It sounds like that the National Folk Festival is a very, very nice place to showcase all the diverse arts and cultural things that are spread all across America. And, you know, like you said, there's basically something there for everybody. So that being said, about how many performers and artists usually come and grace us with their presence at the National Folk Festival?
Just about 350.
Wow. That's a lot.
It is, and some of these are solo artists, and some of them are coming with large assemblages of performers. The opening parade on Friday night is a group called Tinko San Simon. They are a Bolivian group of performers who have an beautiful costumes and cultural dance that is part of the parade procession, and there's 45 people in that group. And then we have solo artists like Yamini Kalluri of the Carnatic Ensemble, who's a Kuchipudi dancer. Mm-hmm. That's Indian classical dance. Some of these artists are working independently, and then some of them are part of these larger ensembles. I think your listeners would also like to know that on Saturday we have the Penn Lions, who are Chinese lion dancers from Philadelphia, coming down.
Mm.
Chinese lion dance is always a really cool experience if you're able to see it in person. So these street performances are happening in conjunction with the stage performances alongside all of those demonstrations and things that I was describing.
Mm.
So there's lots of opportunities for you to encounter something new. And, you know, you can make yourself at home in Salisbury for the weekend and enjoy a magnificent event. Something we didn't talk about is as a community tries to lift up a festival of this size, we talked about the volunteers.
Right.
And I know Salisbury is very proud of their efforts through its green team to be environmentally sensitive with the festival format, which they have robust recycling and composting stations and attempts to keep the carbon footprint of the festival as minimal as possible. For those that are looking at this as a sustainable event, it's about cultural sustainability, it's about environmental sustainability, it's about community renewal. So it really can, a visitor can find something that they can connect with in many ways.
Mm. Okay. In case our listeners are just joining us, you're listening to UMES 30. My name is Brian Daniels, and I'm speaking with Laura Bottinelli. She's the executive director of the council, the National Council for the Traditional Arts, which produces the National Folk Festival, which is being held in Salisbury, Maryland this year and also next year, part of its 3-year residency. And one of the other questions I wanted to ask you, as far as the times that the festival runs on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So when can people expect to get into the festival to start seeing things, like starting with Friday, for example?
Sure. So the festival opens at 6 o'clock on Friday. The first act is right there in front of the government office building at the community stage in downtown Salisbury. That's when Bill Kirchen, master of the Telecaster, will kick off with our first performance. That is followed by a parade that I described over to our main stage at the PRMC stage, where we'll have opening remarks, and then we get to enjoy Hot Club of Cowtown, Western Swing, for the night. If you got there early, at 5 o'clock, that's when the marketplace opens, the place where you can buy your art, meet the artists, and buy different craft wares. And then that's when the food vendors open, is at 5 on Saturday. Oh, pardon me, on Friday.
Friday, okay.
Yep. Festival will carry until 10:30 that evening, and then the next day, Saturday at noon, we kick off again, and the food vendors in the marketplace again are open 1 hour before the festival launch time. So if you want to kind of get some of that done before the stages turn on, you have a chance to do that. We carry until 10:30 on Saturday night, and then on Sunday we ride from noon until 6:30 at night. There are things that are going on outside of that festival hours that I might like to just point out.
Okay.
The engagement with the local community is very important. And so all day Friday, we have artists that are going to schools in Wacomico County, the public school system, to do school shows. So if you have a youngster who's at a Wacomico public school, check their backpack on Friday, and you'll be able to discover which of our festival artists may have graced their school that morning.
Okay.
And they get to have really up close and personal experiences with some of these dynamic artists. On Thursday, just going back one day.
Okay, sure.
We partner with the National Park Service, and the Harriet Tubman Underground Railroad National Park is hosting one of our artists for a showcase. Sun Pie and the Louisiana Sunspots will be doing a performance at 3 p.m. at the Tubman Visitor Center. It's a free performance on Thursday, one of the first opportunities locals may have to meet one of our artists. That's Sun Pie and the Louisiana Sunspots. And it's a great, another free opportunity.
Okay, fantastic. And obviously the National Folk Festival is a really big deal, and this is going to be drawing people from not just our region, but from across the nation to come here to enjoy the festival. So what would you say is the split between the local and regional people who come here and the nation at large?
It's a great question. So last year for the National Folk Festival, that split was 40% out of town, 60% local, which is unusual, only because it rained.
I remember.
It was very wet last year. But we do have Mechanisms in Count, the track and study, who it is that's coming in. We typically are seeing more than 50% of the audience be from out of state, out of region, coming to this event. But the Delmarva Peninsula has fully embraced what we have to offer. And so we know that those folks who are driving in and down the peninsula, up the peninsula into Salisbury, are going to be a big part of who's in play.
Okay. So... So obviously this is a rain or shine event. So if people come down and let's say we do end up with inclement weather, I assume there are tents and things set up where
yes.
people can enjoy the performances and the arts and crafts and so on and so forth.
Yes. One of the best things I hear it talk about is, do you have a rain plan? Yes. It's intense.
Okay.
It's an intense tent plan. Three of our performance stages, the musical performance stages, are tented. There are some open venues, and if we have severe inclement weather, obviously it's harder to enjoy the music at those, but you can find plenty of places that are dry. The festival is designed for rain. The marketplace is undercover. The demonstration areas are undercover. But, you know, when it is beautiful, sunny weather, we do have those larger open-air stages, which will be on and rolling. This is a rain or shine event, as you mentioned. We were very pleased to be watching the weather reports and learning that Hurricane Dorian will have minimal impacts on our portion of the peninsula. So we should be having a festival that runs as scheduled on time. And every hour that passes, more and more sunshine is forecast for the peninsula. So we are very pleased that we expect to have a strong event on that front.
Okay. So with the number of festival goers expected to come into the area, obviously that's going to have an impact on traffic. And I just wanted to ask you about things about parking. Where can people, you know, park their vehicles? I mean, are there shuttle buses available from other areas?
Yep. So there is... free parking downtown, particularly in the downtown garage, the municipal lots that adjoin the downtown area that aren't occupied by the festival. But the primary place where festival goers should be seeking parking is at the Wacomico Youth and Civic Center. There's a shuttle stop there that will bring and drop you off right in the heart of the festival. It will run for the duration of the festival and is the most reliable way to ensure that you have a safe, easy, and pleasant travel experience into the National Folk Festival. Have we mentioned that this is free?
That's one of the best parts about this whole thing.
Yeah, the shuttles are free. If you're in a downtown facility, the parking is free. And then, of course, the festival itself is free. That is made possible by the many, many partners who have come together to support the National Folk Festival, including our presenting partner, Purdue. And then it's also driven by the community. There's something called the Bucket Brigade, which are the volunteers are going out and asking for donations from the crowd. There is a suggested donation of $10 if you're visiting the festival, but it is very much a come free accessible event. And our other showcase of how this event has been able to remain free is this year the downtown stage in front of the government office building is actually called the Community Stage. It's been funded by hundreds of contributions from the local community to ensure that there's a piece of the festival which is fully funded by the host community. It's a really impressive enterprise, everything that's come together. And thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. And you can learn more about them online at nationalfolkfestival.com.
And in fact, you mentioned earlier volunteers who come in and help out with the festival. So if someone wanted to help out with the festival next year, how would they go about getting involved?
So the United Way of the Eastern Shore has given us access and partnered to help with our volunteer recruitment and management. So it's shoreconnected.com. You can register for shifts. For next year's shifts aren't up, and this year's shifts are closed. If you plan to volunteer at this year's National Folk Festival and are not registered, you're going to want to report to St. Peter's Church, which is where the volunteer check-in and registration is. The vast majority of our volunteer opportunities have been filled. We still have some needs with the Bucket Brigade and a few other choice volunteer activities at the National, including a task called a music logger. Those are the people who every stage that at the National is recorded and then added to the archives of the Library of Congress. And part of the materials that go to the Library of Congress include the logger sheets from each stage, and we need volunteers to collect and capture that information. Again, it's just one of there's a number of intricate aspects of this event which ensure a celebration in the present, but then also help preserve and perpetuate these traditions into the future. Mm. So volunteers are encouraged to come. Find our volunteer check-in, see if there's any needs for the day.
If people want to find out more about the National Folk Festival, you mentioned the website. Is that where they would go, basically?
Yes, that's nationalfolkfestival.com. It's your best point of entry for everything you need to know about the festival. Has answers for parking, the full festival schedule, the biographies and audio video clips on all the artists, information about the family area, basically all the do's you need to have a great festival experience.
Great. Okay, I've been speaking with Laura Bottinelli, the executive director for the National Council for the Traditional Arts, which is responsible for producing the National Folk Festival in Salisbury this year and also next year. And we certainly hope to see as many of you out there as possible, as there's a little bit out there for everybody to enjoy in terms of music, arts and crafts, food, vendors, you name it, it's all there. And the great part about it, it's all free for you to enjoy. Laura, thank you so much for taking time out to talk to us about the festival.
Thank you, Brian.
You've been listening to UMES 30. I'm Brian Daniels. Listen to this or any past episode of UMES 30 by logging on to WESM913.org or through the NPR One app available for download on Google Play. UMES 30 is produced in the studios of 913 WESM, located on the campus of the University of Maryland Eastern Shore. The views and opinions expressed on UMES 30 are not necessarily those of 913 WESM or the University of Maryland Eastern Shore.